2 Timothy 2, verses 17 through 19. These are the words of God. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. He's been telling Timothy to stick to the truth and to entrust the true teaching of Scripture to men who will also teach the truth that glorifies Jesus first and foremost, naming the name of Christ, and then the truth that also is instruction from Jesus in how to live as someone who obeys Jesus in dependence upon the grace of Jesus. And so two main things, the glory of Christ in true doctrine and the glory of Christ in the application in true living. This is what Timothy and those whom he ordains and so on down the line throughout the centuries, throughout the generations of the church, among the elders, that's what they are to do. But there's a temptation among those who teach and those who learn, because they accumulate for themselves such teachers, there's a temptation to try and say something new or say something clever to make a name for yourself instead of bringing praise and honor to the name of Christ. And this is what Hymenaeus and Philetus did, and the warning in verse 17 is that if you want to make a name for yourself, you will. It just won't be a good name. Many faithful elders in Ephesus and other congregations in the New Testament didn't get their names in the Bible. Hymenaeus got his name in the Bible, and Philetus got his name in the Bible. But they're not famous. They're infamous, aren't they? They're famous as examples of those who, trying to say something new or clever, ended up speaking empty words, empty noise, just babbling as far as good theology is concerned. However clever it sounded, however wise and helpful it sounded to men, it was not from the Word of God. And so they made a name for themselves, making a truth for themselves. They strayed concerning the truth. How far did they stray? Well, once someone starts being innovative with theology, it tends to be an addiction of sorts, and they get further and further. In this age where you can trace, people are made authors, and even worse, authoresses, and you can trace their quote-unquote development or progression in their books, as soon as they start departing from the faith delivered once for all, once for the ages, you can almost guarantee and watch with horror and grief as they depart further and further, and then they end up saying really crazy things. There was an example earlier this week with an author whose books we had had on the table for and on the wall at Harvest some 10, 15 years ago. And then this author started writing stuff that, I don't know if that's true, and then things that were definitely not true, and very upset at all of the critics. I just read an excerpt this week out loud here at the table. I don't know how many of you were around. And it was just absolute insanity. Blasphemy against Christ, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, blasphemy against the Word of God. All the while, with the author thinking that what they were writing was really wise and godly and a real corrective to all those uptight people who are uptight about theology. Well, we don't know what the first thing Hymenaeus and Philetus started straying in or departing in was. But how far did they go? They got to the point where they weren't even looking forward to the resurrection anymore. They said the resurrection was already past. And of course, Paul has taught in other places and taught Timothy, of course, because Timothy was his son in the faith and in the ministry, that if the resurrection, if a future bodily resurrection is not true, then Christians are of all men to be the most pitied. And Hymenaeus and Philetus put themselves right in that place because they started making their own truth. Watch out for people who say, speak your truth or believe your truth. They make truth something that is malleable and variable. No, we must speak the truth of Christ. And so there's great danger in wanting to make a name for ourselves, and it's not just for Bible teachers. Any desire that people would admire us, that we would get noticed, any enviousness of the people who are getting noticed, which often they're getting noticed not for good things, but any of that desire or envy in our hearts, there's great big danger there that we would be those who want to make a name for ourselves. And rather than desiring to be taught of God, to learn from His Word, to embrace the faith once delivered for the ages, to embrace the truth of the Bible, any desire instead to be creative or to come up with new ways, clever ways of thinking things. Big danger there. As soon as you start down that path, you're in danger. And even worse, because we're all sinful and susceptible to such things, you're in danger not only of harming yourself, but harming others. That sad phrase at the end of verse 18, and they overthrow the faith of some. Those who had not had an inward change, but at least their intellectual doctrine was accurate, and there's always good hope as someone is reading and agreeing with the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is going to take that truth of the Bible, that He's going to use His Word, that He's going to give grace in the heart, that He's going to give life and real faith. But how dreadful to end up being the instrument by which someone is drawn away intellectually as the way of exposing that they weren't a believer to begin with. We've had a couple sad instances of that happening with someone from our own church in the last few years, someone who gets enthralled with a new idea that they see or hear somewhere, and it turns out that that becomes the occasion of discovering that they were never really saved, that they didn't have real spiritual life. And their quote-unquote faith, you know, the sort of faith that the demons have, the demons believe and shudder, says the Bible, their faith gets overthrown. And so there were people who, at least up until the point that they heard Hymenaeus or Philetus, that at least were orthodox in their doctrine. And then they get drawn away, and such faith as they had is overthrown. And yet, the faith of those who are genuine believers cannot be overthrown. Verse 19 immediately follows that phrase up to assure us, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows who those who are His. And so for us, that means that we never hold on to the accuracy of our doctrine. We hold on to the God about whom we have this accurate doctrine. None can be lost clinging to Christ. None can be lost hoping in Him. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. None who believe in Him will be put to shame, says the Scripture. So concerning yourself, always cling to Christ. And then if you see in the church false teachers like Hymenaeus and Philetus being famous, they were famous, and famous in the church at least. If you see in the church false teachers or people who are going after false teachers, and yes, it's a great grief, and yet if we are resting in God and hoping in God and our desire is that He would get glory and His elect would be saved, would be gathered into the church, and would be grown in Christ, this will happen. And so even as we grieve over what happens to some souls, we do not need to despair over what is happening to the church, as if the plan of God could somehow fail, or as if an elect person could somehow be lost. That's impossible. just as it is impossible for you to be saved if you're clinging to, impossible for you to be lost if you're clinging to Christ. It is impossible that the plan of God to redeem his elect should fail. And so make sure that you distinguish, you separate grief over what you see happening in many cases from discouragement or despair. There's never any reason for the discouragement or the despair. The Lord knows who are his. What is going to happen with them? Well, those who are his, instead of following a man, they're going to follow the Lord. They're going to follow Christ. And yes, Christ uses elders, but the elders that Christ is using, the elders that are properly called and ordained, are not making a following for themselves. They are serving the Lord Jesus and serving the flock and teaching the flock to follow Jesus. So the right following, and then the right truth. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So the right name, not making a name for themselves, but making a name for Jesus, and then the right truth. The doctrine that, as the apostle says it in a couple places, the doctrine that accords with godliness, that teaches people to hate their sin and to hope in the resurrection, to hope in being holy and happy forever. And if we are going to be happy with the Lord forever, we need the holiness, without which we won't see the Lord. If our hope is that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him as he is, then those who hope this way, the scripture says in 1 John, purify themselves even as he is pure. And so the following for Christ, the praise of Christ, obedience to Christ, those are the things that mark a genuine ministry. And those are the things that God won't let his elect fail to have. He knows who are his, and he will do that for them. And if we are his, then let us make much of the name of the Lord Jesus, and let us believe the Bible as the truth of the Lord Jesus, and let us follow him in obedience and holiness. And let's pray. Lord, I pray for my children that each of them would surely be yours, and that they would know that they are yours in this way. Their praise would be all for the name of Jesus, and that they wouldn't desire the praise of men or give that which belongs to Christ to mere men instead. I pray that you would make them followers of the Lord Jesus and not of mere men. And I pray, Lord, that as they grow in understanding your word and in the knowledge of what it teaches, how it all fits together, that your spirit would be using that knowledge and that understanding not to puff them up in themselves, but to help them put sin to death, walk with Christ by faith, be united to him, that you would grow them in that holiness that is necessary for seeing you and being with you forever. And grant that this would be true for each of them, that they would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that they would put their trust in him, which we do ask also in his name. Amen.